turn with me this morning to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. I do not intend to preach long, but that just may happen. So just put some scuba gear on. We're going deep today. Matthew chapter 13, we'll begin reading at verse number 1. So glad that my wife and my little girl got to come with me today. Hallelujah. Matthew 13, very familiar passage of Scripture. And we'll try our best to preach our way through it today. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables. Now, this is different than Matthew 5. I know you're standing, but we're talking about the Bible. The Bible won't hurt you. It'll help you. Now, this is different than Matthew 5. Matthew 5 begins 5 and 6. Is what is classically called the Sermon on the Mount. Also classically called the Beatitudes. How many have heard those terms before? Sermon on the Mount, Beatitudes. The language in Matthew 5 is going to be different than the type of the style of speech that's in Matthew 13. Matthew 5 is very direct language. You have heard it said, but I say unto you, this is, when he says, you have heard it said, he's referring to the law of Moses. You read Matthew 5 and 6, you'll read it, you'll see this. You have heard it said that it's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you that if you're angry without a cause, okay. In other words, Moses said it this way, but I'm saying it. Listen how direct that is. It's kind of like, well, never mind. But Matthew 13 is not direct language. Matthew 13 is the beginning of teaching that is parables. This is different than direct language. Parables is symbolic language. Whereas in Matthew 5, it's this is what I'm saying and listen to what I'm saying. In Matthew 13, it's I'm going to say it this way and we'll see if you hear what I'm saying. Okay, and great multitudes were gathered together. Verse 3, I think, is where we were at. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell on stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Verse 8, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some in hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Verse 9 says, who hath ears? There's two prominent phrases that Jesus uses in the parables when he's talking about the kingdom, and that is, the kingdom of heaven is like. Everybody say, the kingdom of heaven is like. And the other one is, he who hath ears. Okay? That's different than saying he who can hear. Okay. My assumption is that everyone in here has ears. At least one. Okay. But having ears is, this is different than saying he who can hear or he who is listening. It's saying he who has ears. This is different. So I was going to title this, dirt with ears. But I didn't feel like that was sophisticated enough for Sunday morning. So I'm going to take my title from verse 3, the last six words of verse 3, and we will just title it. I'm not great with titles, so we're just going to preach, and you'll just have to say, oh, okay, I see why I got that title. We're going to title this, A Sower Went Forth to Sow. And then it's up to you and I to receive what the sower went forth to sow. All over the house, this is a Pentecostal church. And so we're going to preach here in just a moment. And I want you to lift your voice. I want us to pray loud. You might not have to scream, but you need to turn the volume up just a little bit on your praying on Sunday morning. Let's do that right now. Lay your Bible down. Lift your hands up in Jesus' name. Now let's add a hand clap of praise with that. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 And if you're going to preach with me all service long, you can be seated. If not, just remain standing. Hallelujah. A sower went forth to sow. A sower went forth to sow. As we've just already said, has changed the way that he's communicating to people. He spoke so directly in Matthew 5 and 6, and it caused such a stir with some people that his teaching was rejected and rejected in full. And so by the time you get to Matthew 13, Jesus is speaking in symbol. He is speaking in a way where you have to be a little bit of, maybe we could say you have to be a little bit of a literarian. You have to be a reader almost, or you have to be accustomed to the way people speak in the Middle East at that time, the culture, because he is speaking in parables. And in parable speech, symbolic speech, it's not just metaphor, and it is not, it is symbolism, but it is not mere symbolism. He is talking about something that is real, and he is using something that is real. This is the difference between a parable and a metaphor. He's not making something up. He's using something real to illustrate something else that's real. And so he is talking to people about something that they understand already. He is speaking to an agrarian society, people who are used to planting and who are used to sowing and tending and reaping agriculture. People who are used to birthing, feeding, clipping, tending sheep, leading goats, leading livestock. He's talking to people who know what farming is. Now, I live in Alabama, and I know that you live in Indiana. And Indiana, Alabama, we grow cotton and peanuts. In Indiana, they grow corn and soybeans. So in Indiana, even no matter where you live, no matter where you work, if you're going to drive from the northern part of Indiana to the southern part of Indiana, you are aware that you live in an agricultural state. So you and I, we know what it is. Even if we don't drive a tractor, we know what it is to be around agriculture. So God is speaking to people who know what it is to be about around this kind of stuff. And there is an explanation that is required here at the beginning of our preaching today. A key to understanding these verses, the first 9 verses of Matthew 13, there's a key to understanding these verses, and the key is given by Jesus himself, and it's given a little further into Matthew 13, and we will read it. We'll get there and preach it in just a moment. Brother, I think my voice is messed up a little bit today. Could I have just a little bit more right here? I know I'm being a complainer. Hallelujah. So there is an explanation. Everybody say there's an explanation. Oh, that's great. That's awesome. Thank you. So there is a key to understanding these verses. And the key to understanding these verses is this. Later we'll preach about it. Right now we're just going to state it. And you've seen it. This has been preached to you before. Preach with me this morning. So in these verses that we just read, the first 9 verses, seed. Everybody say seed. Jesus said, a sower went forth to sow, and that sower's going forth to sow seed. And seed in this passage that we just read means the word of God. Everybody say, seed means word. Seed means word. Oh, you got to say it like you're preaching with it. Say, seed means word. There you go. So seed means word, and soil equals people who hear the word. Everybody say soil. Say it like you pray. Say soil. Soil means people who hear the word. That's what we're doing on Sunday morning. Yes, we're up here preaching, but what's really happening is there's seed being sown in this house today. I wonder if there's any hearers of the word. I wonder if there's any men and women that came to the house of God that the seed of God's word would find good soil. So seed means word. You could be seeded. Seed means word. Soil means those who hear the word. And we'll spend some time talking about those two today, seed and soil. Seed means word. Soil means those who hear the word. So let's begin by asking ourselves, when Jesus, we'll read this again in just a moment where he states it so plainly. When Jesus is talking about the kingdom, we want to ask ourselves, what in the world is God doing in this era of time that we live in? I'm not interested in what the government's doing. They're going to do what they're going to do. I'm not interested in what the culture's doing. They're going to do what they're going to do. But I am interested in what God's doing, and I'm going to try to do what God's doing. So the question is, what is God doing right now? And the answer is, God is building a kingdom. And this kingdom is called the kingdom of heaven. And this kingdom is represented in scripture. You can be seated. This kingdom is represented in scripture in several different ways. The kingdom can be called a sheepfold. It's likened to a sheepfold. It's a sheepfold, and the shepherd is Jesus, and the people that belong to him are his sheep. This kingdom has been and can be called a wedding feast. And the people at the feast are God's people, the people invited to the wedding. How many are thankful that you've been invited to the wedding? And coming out of the discussion of it being a wedding, this kingdom can be called the bride. It can be called a bride. And how many recognize this preaching? And you and I, we all make up the bride of Christ. And but the term that is most often used, the term that is most often used, the common term to describe the kingdom, everybody say the common term to describe the kingdom is church. The kingdom is called the church. I'm thankful to be in the church of the living God. Are you thankful to be in God's church? And you can be seated. Now, the church is the most unique thing on the planet. It's unique. Everything else down here classifies us according to our problems. If you look at things politically, they divide us. And they call us, well, there's this voting block. There's the women's voting block. And there's the minorities voting block. And there's the people that's mad about taxes voting block. And then there's, it's, they categorize us according to what we're offended by. Or they categorize us by what our problem is. This is how the world does it. We're going to AA because everybody at AA, this is how the world classifies us. We're preaching about what's unique about the church. We all go to AA because we're alcoholics. Or we all go to the gym because we're fat. We're classified by our problems. This is what's different. This is what's different about the church. The church, we're not here because we all have common problems, but we're all here because we found a common answer. You can come in here with any different kind of problem. We're not classified according to our problems. We came here because we found a common answer. Let me just preach for just a moment. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter what you're coming out of. Jesus is the answer. He's the answer to addiction. He's the answer to marriage failure. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, come on, let's clap our hands. Let's give God praise. got cough drop now. Change that 35 minutes to 45. Now, if I'm preaching and this cough drop flies out and sticks on your forehead, I apologize. So this church is unique. This church thing that we're involved in is unique. It's a little bit, the church, you have to be a little bit chippy as a church. You gotta have a little bit of a, you have to have a little bit of pushback in you. Like, you gotta be, chippy is a good word. You kind of gotta, it's like that kid at school that's always ready to fight. He's not a bully, he's just ready to fight everybody. Kind of what church is. We stand in defiance to cultural decay. We stand in defiance. You got to be a little bit chippy to be in this. But we stand in defiance. When everything is declining, we are not declining. We adopt the words of that song. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands. Yeah. You have to be a little bit defiant to be in the church. So we're not, we don't, this is, I know this sounds bad, but we kind of got a little bit of an attitude. Not a bad attitude, just an attitude. And this, you kind of, it's prophetic, it's what this is. And there's prophets, you can be seated for just a second, that way you can stand up again. There's prophets, it's a little bit prophetic. And these prophets, nobody liked them. And this kind of the nature of the church. It's a prophetic thing, and you have to be willing to prophesy if nobody likes it. You have to be willing to stand there and say, "Thus saith the Lord," and they say, "Well, I don't like that." Well, that's fine, but that's still what God says. And so there's this is prophetic. This is prophetic. My boys and I like to listen to Louis L'Amour, and you see, me and brother, we like to listen to Louis L'Amour. Well, though, all of those Louis L'Amour characters. Did anybody else in here listen to Louis L'Amour? All right, six of you is going to heaven. Here you go. But in Louis L'Amour characters, it's a Western writer. Louis L'Amour was a Western writer. And you have to sleep next to your horse so that, because your horse will tell you when the bad guys are coming. And when the bad guys come, you don't look right into the fire, because when the bad guys walk up and you look away from the fire, your vision's messed up. So you got to learn all this stuff if you're in a Louis L'Amour deal. And you have to sleep with a gun in your six shooter in your hand, just in case the bad guys sneak up on you. And yeah, that's it. Being in the church is not like being in a Louis L'Amour novel. You can come in here and leave your purse sitting on the bench. I hope you can anyway. And nobody go through it and get your cell phone and get your money and this is the difference of what's in the church. In the world, we're going to get to the uniqueness of that. We're already off my notes. This is awful already. We're 10 minutes in, and we've only been preaching for 3 minutes, and we're already off notes. So this is what's different. We are here prophesying that there's going to be a day when righteousness rules and reigns, and holiness rules and reigns, and kindness and the love of God rules and reigns. And we're here saying it rules and reigns today. The kingdom is here today. All right, before we just get completely off the river here, let's get back to what I'm preaching. All right, you can be seated. Now, the thing that is unique about the church, even what we're doing in the room today, the thing that's unique about the church is it allows for the focused sowing of seed. Everybody say the focused sowing of seed. The church allows for the focused sowing of seed. Singing in church, we've done it today. Singing in church is different than singing on the street. Preaching in church is different than preaching on the street. And don't get me wrong, we ought to preach on the street. We ought to minister on the street, however we can do it. In people's homes, etc. We ought to do all of that. But preaching here is different than preaching on the street or singing on the street. And the thing that's different about it, the difference is that the difference, this makes the church irreplaceable. The difference is it allows for focus that you can't really find on the outside. Because if I'm preaching on the street, people are coming by and they might listen to me preach, and some of them may respond, but for the most part, they're going to pay their bills, or they're going to buy beans and ham and chicken and whatever, and they're going to school, or they're going to work, etc. And so there's not this focus. But when you come to the house of God, this atmosphere that we have right here, it allows for focused sowing of seed. This is why, by the way, listen, you can get mad at your pastor if you want, if he holds a standard. This is how we dress. This is how we speak. This is how we don't dress. This is how we don't speak, etc. We go here. We don't go there. We do this. We don't do that. And if you're wondering why, it's because this is not a permissive atmosphere. This isn't an anything goes atmosphere. And the reason we're doing that is because we're trying to preserve the uniqueness of the church for it to be a place where the focused sowing of seed can go forward. In other words, it's going to be the word of God that goes forth in here, not somebody's spirit. It's going to be the word of God that goes forth in here, not somebody's attitude. It's not going to be the culture. We're not looking to accommodate the culture in here. We're looking to accommodate the focused preaching of the word of God. And I know, you can be seated. And I know, look, I'm not going to keep telling you that. If you want to stand the whole time, fine. But I have to, yeah. But this is I know that this will get in people's way mentally. I know that this will get in people's way mentally, at least in the modern church's mind. This is not, we are not building seeker-friendly churches. And I know that that flies in the face of church culture, the broad term that we would call church culture. But we are not building a seeker-friendly church. We are building a Jesus-friendly church. Because if we have 5,000 seekers and we don't have Jesus, we don't have anything anyway. But if we have Jesus and only 5 seekers, we've got everything. Come on, let's clap our hands to him. Hallelujah. Oh, let's clap our hands again while I get this cough drop chewed up. Hallelujah. Now, don't worry, Brother Nunez is going to preach tonight, and he'll do better than this. But so this is, the church is designed for the focused sowing of seed. Everybody say the focused sowing of seed. So in the church, we get to focus on what God is focusing on. We're not here focusing on our bills. We're not focusing on college. We're not focusing on health. We're focusing on what God wants to focus on in here. So we're in the church. We're focusing on what God wants to focus on. And right now in this era, if you're just wondering what the answer to the question is, in this era, we can preach about other things, but we're really focused on 2 things. Number 1 is building the tabernacle of David, which was a tabernacle of worship. And we're focused on the preaching of the word. Let me preach about that tabernacle of David for 10 seconds. You got 10 seconds? You and I, every time we come to the house of God, ought to be hopping up and down. We ought to be shouting. We ought to be clapping, because the tabernacle of David is a tabernacle of worship. The tabernacle of David is a tabernacle of praise. Yeah, hallelujah. And then we're focused on the preaching of the word. We're focused on the preaching of the word. To use Jesus' terms from Matthew 13, we are focused on the sowing of seed. And my good friends, church, guests, buddies, enemies, whoever's in here today, the word of God works. Let me say that again. For all of the church people that just nodded at that and waved at it a little bit, the preaching of the word of God works. The word of God has the power to set you free today. The word of God has the power to break chains. It opens eyes. It shows us what to do and not to do. It heals the eyes. It heals the heart. It heals the mind. It saves the soul. The word of God can save you today. Let me read from the letter of the apostle James, James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. James is speaking to the church. He said, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear." We're talking about the preaching of the word. "Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. We touched on this yesterday. Emotions, wrath is an emotion. It's anger. It is anger that has exceeded its banks. It's anger that has overflowed. Emotions are not reactions. If you're going to live godly, if you're going to serve God with your emotions, you don't react with your emotions. You invest your emotions. That's how that goes. Emotions are investments. We love our enemies. That's counter to how we would react to our enemies. We invest love in our enemies. So when he's saying, when James is saying, dearly beloved, when he's talking to us and he says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, there in verse 20, and wherefore lay, this is, he's saying, listen, you can't just blow your top. This is not what I'm preaching, but boy, I could. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. And here it is. Listen, wherefore lay apart all filthiness. See, that's preaching. That's preaching. That's the nature of preaching. The Bible is so economic with its words. I know it just used the word superfluity there, but there are no superfluous adjectives in this book. Everything that is said had to be said. The Bible doesn't say anything that doesn't need to be said. Okay? And it's so direct that when it's preached, sometimes you go, oh, ow. I hear people, they say, Pastor, you just tell it to me like it is. Well, I do. And then you get mad. And this is what James is doing. He said, lay apart filthiness. You know what the implications of that is? Some of you is filthy. The word of God's that way. It's like somebody walking up to you with a tin of Altoids. And they go, you want one? You're like, no. And they're like, you sure? What they're really saying is, your breath stinks. You might have a sinus problem, bro. That's what the word of God's doing. We got some ladies in our church that teach in our K-12. And on Thursdays, I go in there and eat lunch with them. And so we're all sitting around the table eating teacher's lunch. And we had something that had broccoli in it. And we got done eating. And so we had a few minutes. We were just chatting for a second before we... And one of the teachers looked at another teacher and said, you got broccoli in your teeth. Right in front of everybody. Yeah. This is kind of how the word of God is. Let me get, we'll get back to that in just a second, okay? He says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word. It sounds like James is also speaking to an agrarian society. The engrafted word of God. You know what grafting is? That's for tree doctors. And I've worked with them before. And they make like a little T. Maybe they've got other ones, but they make like a little T, or maybe it was a plus sign, and they'll peel that little bark back, that little cut of bark back, and they'll slide a branch down in there, and then they'll put that bark back over it, and they'll wrap it with this certain kind of tree medicine deal, and it's got a wrap on it, and they'll just leave that wrap there until the tree just outgrows the wrap. But by the time the tree outgrows the wrap, there's a branch that's grafted in. And all of a sudden, a branch that was separated from another tree that would have died on its own has now got the benefit of having a root system that didn't grow, and it can bring forth fruit. And so, this is what James is saying the Word of God's like. It says, when you hear the preaching of the Word of God, it's going to use words like, filthy, you're filthy, and you need to lay apart that. You need to separate yourself from that filthiness, and you need to lay apart that naughtiness. Yes. And receive with meekness. Yes. Now, meekness, sit down for just a second. Meekness does not mean weakness. Right. I tell people, I preach to Southerners, Southern men, and I'd have to tell people, don't mistake our meekness for weakness.
There's men in here that can rearrange your attitude by rearranging your jawline. The only thing we're scared of is starvation, and we've got just about got that whooped. You have to receive with meekness. You know what meekness means? This is so anti-American. Meekness means possessing no rights of your own. That's what that means. That's the implications of being meek. I don't have my own rights. So you receive. Stand up here, brother. Ezekiel, stand up. Turn around. You're helping me preach here. You have to receive the engrafted word. This is what preaching does. It comes with a knife. In one place, Jesus says, for every branch that beareth not fruit, he pruneth. This is still that agrarian language. He pruneth. And so he's got a knife. He's got a surgical instrument. And he walks up to this tree. And this tree is not bearing fruit. And he says, and it's going to be lost. It's covered over with the superfluity of naughtiness is what James says. And filthiness. But the preaching of the word. Oh, don't you ever just get mad and walk out if the preacher gets up here and preaches. This is what's happening. He walks up and he's got his little surgical tool, and he goes and he makes a little cut right there, and this is what the preaching of the word does. He takes the word and he engrafts it. Where's your pocket? Oh, you don't have a pocket. Here we go. He takes the word and he engrafts it in, and he wraps it up, and it's there. And all of a sudden, 15 years down the road, you didn't know what was happening to you. Thank you. You didn't know what was happening to you, but the word of God was grafted in, and your life was changed, and you were able to bring forth fruit. Oh, if you're thankful for the preaching of the word of God, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Be seated and receive with meekness. Everybody say meekness. Meekness. The engrafted word which is able to save your soul. We preached about this yesterday. Soul, psuche, psyche. That's where we get the word psyche from, psuche, soul. The New Testament is psuche, soul, psuche. It's able to save your thinker. Yeah, we want to convert your heart. Yes. We're after your noggin too. That's right. But be ye doers of the word is what he says in verse 22. Everybody say doers. And not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Here he goes. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's speaking in symbolic language again. He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. Beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. It's like preaching the word of God is like looking in a mirror. It's like looking in a glass. Listen. There is nothing more confrontational than a mirror. Come on. This is the nature of the word of God. It's confrontational. You can hear the word of God taught and it not really confront you, but you haven't heard the word of God preached until it's confronted you. I've out-preached the Sunday school today. Okay. Looking in a mirror, there's nothing more confrontational than a mirror. A mirror will say, bro, you've got stuff in your nose without hesitation. And it says it all at once. And you got toothpaste in the corners of your mouth. And you missed a spot shaving. Somebody preach with me. Everybody in here has looked in a mirror. The preaching, there's nothing more confrontational than a mirror. And when you hear the word of God preached, you'll find out that you'll find out you can't just be a fornicator. You'll find out that you just can't be a gossip. This is the preaching of the word of God. This is what's got to be grafted in. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Let's clap our hands and let's thank him. All right. We're just jumping over some stuff here. Everything that I am, everything that you are as a child of God is because of the word of God being grafted in. Somebody say amen. We have the Holy Ghost today because somebody preached Acts 2:38 to us out of this book right here. We have, how many just by show of hands, how many God's ever healed your body in this house? Look at this. The reason we believe in miracles is because we read about and have heard preached about miracles out of this book. How many believe God can do anything? You know why you believe God can do anything? Because this book says things like this. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer is, nothing's too hard for God. All right. I got just a little bit more. Just stay with me. That'll make them feel better. And this is one of the things that's so great about the Word. The Word of God never changes. It is forever settled. Sit down for just a second. I promise we're closing. Just sit down for just a second. This is what's so great about the Word of God. It never changes. That's different than me. That's different than you. I change my mind sometimes. I change my feelings. And sometimes those changes are good. And sometimes they're not so good. I don't always think right, but the Word of God is always right. I don't always speak right, but the Word of God always speaks right. I don't always feel right, but the Word isn't subject to how I feel. I might feel defeated, but the Word is never defeated. I might feel overcome, but the Word of God is going to overcome. I might be in a fight, but the Word of God brings victory. And the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God, has the ability to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Oh, sit down for just a second. I'm sorry. It's like I got this little sticker on the bottom left corner of my truck, and it's got a little barcode, and it's like $12 a month, and I can just go through the car wash. And the reason I got that is because there's a strange attraction between bugs and windshields. Strange attraction between bugs and windshields. And I don't know how it is in Indiana, but in the South, we've got, I think all the bugs live Nashville and South. Big ones. And you're driving down the road, especially if you're going on a road trip. You're going to drive for 3, 4, 5 hours. By the time you get there, it looks like your truck's never been clean one day. And you're driving, bam, and it always strikes right where you got to look through. And it's red and green and yellow and brownish colors. I cannot imagine what motorcycle riders go through. You know, if you're a happy motorcycle driver, you're smiling, you got to brush your teeth every time you get done. Anyway. Aren't you glad for your pastor? But you go through that drive-thru and they start... I hate it when they're just all lazy at the drive-thru. And they got this little sign and they're like, look at the sign here. Look at the sign here. Neutral. Put your mirrors in. Got it. And I like, they've got this little spray gun at the start of ours. I hate it when they're just like... I know it's doing the same thing, but I want them to feel like they're really doing... I want them to go... So they spray you at the beginning and you go through the drive-thru and they got suds and suds that come down and they got to shoot you right in the windshield and they got little spinny deals that go and it's slapping you on the sides and they got these big and it's slapping you all up in, and then they got this deal that whaps you on the top of the truck. And you get through, and then it's got this water that sprays, and it's got this stuff that makes your tires look black again. And when you get done, then it's got these deals that blow you off. This is kind of what the preaching of the Word of God is. It's like that. It's a little bit like that. So the preaching of the word of God will whap you from over here, and it'll buzz you from over here, and it'll slap you. And it's got these. He doesn't even know what he's doing. The Bible calls it the foolishness of preaching. But the preacher gets up here, and he doesn't even know what you're going through. He might be preaching on tithe, and all of a sudden, God sets you free from that little deal that you've been bound with. Oh, somebody preach with me on Sunday morning. So sometimes you got to come in here and let the engrafted word suds you down and scrub you and get you clean and make you pure and make you righteous.
All right, you can be seated for just another moment. I promise we're closing. We're skipping stuff. So here's the question. The word of God's the same. Yesterday, today and forever, Jesus said, my word is forever settled in heaven. Another place he said, not one jot or one tittle. In Hebrew, jots and tittles are vowel marks. I asked Brother Nunez whether his name was Nunez or Nunez. What was the little accent mark? What's it called? Inye. Yeah, inye, that's it. That's when he says jot and tittle. That's what he's meaning. It's similar to an inye. That's what he's talking about. Not even the accent marks are going to pass away. It's all going to be fulfilled. It could also be the dotting of an I. The dot part. The crossing of a T, the cross part. If you read Hebrew, you have to read Hebrew from right to left, and you read it like this. From the line, then below the line, then back up, and then below the line. That's how you have to read it. And the vowels are all below the consonants. Like the Hebrew alphabet's all consonants. Vowels, when you write it, they invented vowels, and it's dots and dashes, and that's what he's talking about. That jots and tittles are not going to pass away. Not even the little parts are going to pass away until all of it's fulfilled. All right. So here's the question. We just preached about the powerful nature of the Word of God. Sit down. You might not like this part. I'd hate for you to be standing and not liking it. The question is, what would stop the word of God from working in my life? Well, that goes back to the text that we read in Matthew 13. Because in Matthew 13, Jesus says, seed, sower went forth to sow seed. And seed means word of God. What would stop the word from working in my life? Well, the Bible says that there are four kinds of people.
Right.
And there are four kinds. Those four kinds of people came to church this morning.
All right. Yeah.
They're in here.
That's good. Talk about it.
Those four kinds of people are in this room, and they're going to come back to church tonight, Brother Nunez, and you're going to preach to those same four kinds of people. And those people came to church, and they're going to come back. And the word of God, listen to how good God is. God knows all about me.
That's right.
God knows all about you. And he still indiscriminately preaches his word, extends his word to everybody. Doesn't matter what kind of soil you and I are. He extends his word. Listen to how indiscriminate God is. Yeah. What's your last name?
What?
Tobe? T-O-M-E. Tome. Got it. I'm going deaf. Tome. And then we've got Brother Ezekiel here. It doesn't matter if your name is Ezekiel or your last name is Tome. It doesn't matter what your skin color is. It doesn't matter what your language is. It doesn't matter what your economic status is. It doesn't matter. Listen to how good our God is. He'll sow the word over here. He'll sow the word back here. He'll sow the word over here. Without discrimination. How good is our God? But then, it depends. He said, the sower went forth to sow, and some of the seed fell on stony,
Some fell on thorny. Some fell on wayside ground. And some fell on good ground. And those four people are in, those four types of people are in church on Sunday morning. And they're going to be in church on Sunday night. So the question is, well, what would stop the word? Because he said there's supposed to be some fruit that comes forth.
Yes, that's right.
Some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. My goodness. That's another sermon. That's another sermon. But what's going to stop the word from being effective depends on what kind of soil I am. Let me get back to my initial title that was not sophisticated enough for Sunday morning. It depends on if you are dirt that has ears. It depends on if you're dirt that has ears. I know I'm preaching long. What else are you gonna do? It depends on if you're dirt, soil, earth that has ears. Notice this. It was so disturbing to Jesus' disciples. You can read about this in Matthew 13. We didn't get to it, but you can read about it. You'll read about it later, Matthew 13. I have people say, Pastor, just preach to me. Just speak to me direct. Oh, you don't want that. We've had people come, Pastor, if you ever see me backsliding, you just come to me. Well, no. You mean you wouldn't come to me if I was backsliding? No, you wouldn't listen at that point. How about this? You listen to me preach today and just don't backslide. All right, be seated. I promise we're closing. Okay? Preaching. Whether you receive preaching, that last verse that we read, whether you receive preaching depends. Jesus' disciples said, Lord, why don't you just speak to them directly? Why are you speaking to them in parables? Listen to what Jesus said. This is the only discriminatory statement that Jesus made. He said it's to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah. This is in Matthew 13. It's to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah that in seeing, they see not. And hearing, they hear not. In other words, nobody's going to stand before God and say, we just didn't hear the preaching. Yes, you did. You're hearing it right now. But he said in hearing, they'd hear not. And the difference between, let me make some differentiation here. The difference between listening and hearing can be a chasm. I've told young people, no, don't date him. But I love him. No, don't marry her. And they do it anyway. And 4 years later, they're in the office.
Come on.
It's not that they didn't hear me.
That's right.
Listen, they didn't have the ability to hear me. That's very specific language. It's not that they couldn't hear, it's that they didn't have ears. There's a point where preaching, boy, you better keep the fallow ground broken up. Because there's a point where preaching isn't just something you can hear it, but you may not have ears. And it's not a matter of when we say he didn't hear it, it's not that they didn't listen, it's that they didn't have the ability.
And Jesus said, they said, Lord, what about this? Why are you speaking in parables? And Jesus said, well, it's not given for everybody. It is, but it's only for people that have ears. And so he explained, remain seated for just a moment. He explained to his disciples what the parable of the sower meant. He said, hear ye therefore, this is verse 18, the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, that's that kingdom stuff we're preaching about, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Seed, word. Everybody say word. But the wicked one could come and catch the word away. He said, this is he which received seed by the wayside. And there's wayside soil in the room right now. But he that received the seed into stony places. Everybody say stony places. The same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. That's what it's like. You receive the word. Man, I love that. Preaching. What a good church. What a good preacher. Stony soil receives the word with joy, yet he have no root in himself. But he endureth for a while. For when tribulation, trouble, or persecution ariseth, because of the word, when persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Oh. This is the thing with preaching. It's designed to be offensive. You mean preaching is supposed to be offensive? Yeah, it is. There's a reason why Jesus said, blessed is he who is not offended in me. You know why he'd have to say that? Because there's a real good chance you were going to be. Jesus talked about the cross of Calvary being a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. You know why Calvary is called a rock of offense? Because it's offensive. You know what Calvary says? Boy, we preach this so beautiful around Easter time. You know what Calvary says? Come on. The best man died like the worst man, and it's your fault. And here I thought I was a good man. I've been telling people I was a good man. But the truth of the matter is, he was crucified, and it was because of me and you. And preaching, and the preaching of the cross of Calvary offends on the deepest level possible. And so you have to hear preaching and go, that Pastor Fishburn, he offends me. That offends me. But he's right. That's the nature of preaching. Where it goes, bam! Yeah. And you go, you hit me! Yeah. But you're right. When a man of God gets up here and says, you better repent of your sins, you go, hey, you just called me a sinner! But you're right. This is the saving of the word of God. But he that received, he also received seed among thorns, is he that heareth the word and the care of this world
and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. In other words, the preaching can go forth. You and I can receive it. But we're so into other things. Listen, I live in the South. I've seen people run the aisles and then backslide over football. North Carolina, they'll backslide over basketball. They'll backslide over Netflix. They'll backslide over some dumb boy. And we got good girls that lay in the altar and snot and cry on the steps and backslide over some stupid boy. Or money.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I got to work, Pastor. No, what you got to do is go to heaven. If you have to go in broke, if you have to go in halt, if you have to go in lame, you just get there. There's good soil. It's got good depth. Scripture talks about breaking up fallow ground, ground that doesn't know, that hasn't been plowed in a while. How do I break up fallow ground? Repent, fast, pray, deny your flesh, break up the fallow ground. We have a young lady just had a breakthrough in our church. Let's stand. Just had a breakthrough in our church. The young lady went through things that she should have never had to have gone through. About a year ago in May, her and her family met with me in the office. We talked about some things. I said, I don't want you to miss a day praying. We talked about that Bible reading stuff. She's read her Bible in the last year, read her Bible. I think she's on her fifth time reading the Bible through the last year.
Yeah.
I asked her the other night in church. I said, I called her by name. I said, how many hours have you prayed? And because I told her to keep up with it.
Yeah.
She texts me every, there's several people in my church that do. This particular girl texts me every day, prayed for an hour, prayed for 2 hours, prayed for an hour and a half, read 10 chapters, fasted Thursday, things like that. And I asked her, I said, what's your name? I called her by name. I said, how many hours have you prayed since we started that? She said, as of today, 349 hours. Prior, she was what I would have called, is this on the internet?
No.
Okay, it's I don't care. She would have been what I would have called fallow ground. Ground unbroken. Ground given to wild growth. Thorns, thistles. Hard pan is what we call it in Alabama. I don't know what you call it up here. I would have called her fallow ground. But something happened in her life. Thank God she had a tendency, a bent. Her mom and dad built a tendency into her that when things happen, we don't turn away, but we turn toward God. You know the difference? There's young people that I haven't been able to save. I know it's God that saves them. Preach with me. There's young people that I haven't been able to save. What was the difference? What was the difference here? Please understand how I'm talking about this young lady in our church. She was earth that had ears.
Yes.
And so a sower has gone forth to sow today. It's indiscriminate. God's love is for everybody. God's salvation is for everybody. Doesn't matter your language, your background. Doesn't matter. None of that matters. His salvation is for everybody. The preaching has been indiscriminate this morning. The sowing of the seed is indiscriminate this morning. And the only thing that's going to stop the word from being effective in your life is whether or not you've got ears to hear it. It depends on what kind of soil you are. Is anybody feels the Holy Ghost in this room right now? Let's lift our hands. Lift your hands all over this house. Hallelujah. Sing it. Let's turn her up just a little bit.
Listen while you still can hear.